This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Joining us now, very pleased to welcome back to KMJ, Dr. Haley Nelson, Complex Care Pediatrician with Valley Children's Healthcare. Welcome back to KMJ.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you making the time. Are we, since you and Skip and I last spoke, are we done? Is the pandemic over? Like, we're back to normal, right?
I wish, right? We could just call it done and move on. Pandemic is not over, but we do have exciting news that happened yesterday.
Good.
So that was the big deal about Pfizer officially putting their application into the FDA for their EAU, so the emergency authorization use for ages 5 to 11. So that is coming soon, and I'm pretty excited.
So what does that mean in terms of a timeline for the 5 to 11-year-olds to be able to get the shot? And can you help us explain to folks how we got to this place, the testing that it took to be able to move on to this next phase?
Yeah. So the testing has been very rigorous with all vaccines. There's multiple phases that occur. And when it came to children, they needed to figure out what dose you need to give a child because it's different than the adults. So for the kids, we actually only need a third of the dose that they are giving adults to be able to get kind of the same response from their immune system. So that was the one thing that they had to do. And then figuring out the dose, that it is safe, and now being able to reach this phase of actually applying. So we now are looking at, you know, a few weeks. It depends on how quickly the FDA moves on evaluating all the data, checking off all those boxes. And if they deem it safe and give it the green light, then we'll be able to start giving it out.
Have you been, I don't even know how much of this is generally available, if the findings of these studies have been published in journals where you could just go and pick it up and review it as a professional, but have you seen what the results of those initial trials look like, and is there any red flag?
So I did look back through, because with the press release that went out yesterday, they start to give some of that information, and then more information will come as well to be able to really evaluate what this means. And before, you know, we wholeheartedly endorse something, we want to make sure that it really is safe for kids and that this is the right step. So all of it sounds promising right now. And again, once the FDA does all their meetings and they release the rest of it, I'm a mom. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because this really is the next thing that we're waiting for as a family, to be able to protect our own kids as well as my patients here at the hospital.
So until we get that and we can start vaccinating our kids 5 to 11, I want to talk a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of COVID and the multi-system inflammatory syndrome, or you'll have to forgive me, I don't remember the acronym, that we are
MISC.
Seeing. Yes, thank you. That we are seeing being treated in Valley Children's. Can you give us some insight on that?
Yeah, it's been interesting. This phase, this kind of surge, we certainly were seeing more children come in and more children that were sick than initially with the other kind of waves of COVID that we have experienced. And so it was concerning. And part of that was also the timing with back to school. So really wanting to make sure we have those layers of protection in place. And identifying what those layers are and how we best approach this. So how do we protect our kids until they can get vaccinated is really that we want to have everyone who can get vaccinated get their vaccine. So ages 12 and up, please, while we have time, while we're waiting for the little ones, get your vaccine, everyone wearing your mask. Those things can help bring the numbers down, and we're slowly seeing that. So I'm, again, keeping my fingers crossed that maybe the numbers will continue to come down, but there's other germs out there too. So the emergency room still is pretty busy over here.
Our guest is Dr. Haley Nelson, Complex Care Pediatrician from Valley Children's Healthcare. Speaking of the emergency room there, you point out that the world has continued to rotate despite COVID's best efforts to make it all about the one virus. Is there anything in circulation right now? Because I've got one kid in school. My wife's a school teacher. Is there anything in circulation right now? Like, is this the time to go get a flu shot or what?
Yes, go get your flu shot. So that's another thing that we want to protect people against. There's no rule book that viruses follow that say you can only be sick with one thing at one time. So there is a risk this winter that, like, how awful would that be if you got flu and COVID? It just sounds gross and you would feel horrible. So let's protect you against the things that we can, and flu is certainly on that list. The other common colds, you know, those circulate through classrooms. Like, we see that, and it's really important that if your child has any symptoms, stay home, call your pediatrician, and get them tested, because COVID is a virus. There's other viruses out there. It's hard to tell initially when your child starts to feel sick what it's going to be, and the last thing you want to do is spread any of your germs and have all of your friends now home and on quarantine.
One of the biggest struggles here in the Valley that I've seen is the availability of COVID testing after you've had some sort of exposure or you're worried that there might be symptoms. Does Valley Children's offer that, or do you recommend they go to, you know, try and make an appointment at a Walgreens? But I mean, even those might be a couple of days out.
Yeah, so talking to your pediatrician, so that would be a first step for your child. But there are testing centers, there are home testing kits. So there's different ways to go about getting the test, even checking through the county. I know that they have their list of different places that you can go and you can get tested. But for here at Valley Children's, our primary care sites do offer testing for patients that are established with us.
Haley, there's been a fair bit of conversation in the past few weeks about Fresno State in particular contemplating returning to distance learning after the Thanksgiving break. I haven't seen a local school board. I have not heard from any individual site administration that's being mulled over. Have you heard anything about the possibility of kids going back to distance learning?
I haven't. And I mean, I can imagine the emotions at play, as well as the factors for kind of figuring out the safest way to go about this. And so I have a lot of respect for the people who have to make that ultimate decision, because it's not easy. I enjoyed getting to go to college and be on campus, and I feel for our students who might have to go to virtual if that's what needs to happen based on where the numbers are at and what the school decides. So I don't know which way that one's going to go.
But at this point, there's not a drumbeat coming from the medical community saying, send them all home. Everybody's going to be dead by New Year's if we don't put them all back in a bubble.
Not the drumbeat, but I would say the drumbeat from the medical side is, get your vaccine, get your flu shot, protect yourself. So I think really just continuing to be vigilant about the ways that we can stay safe right now. And it's exhausting. And as you asked, you know, like, isn't it just over yet? Like, we want it to be over. And if you let your guard down, that's when that opportunity to possibly get sick can happen. So kind of keeping your guard up is the best way to keep yourself healthy.
Before we let you go, Dr. Nelson, is there anything else you'd like to share with those listening to the Afternoon Drive regarding keeping our kids safe and schools kind of, you know, moving forward with the academic year?
Yeah, I think right now is a good time for parents to be thinking about. So if you have a child who fits that window, the 5 to 11s, and you're on the fence and you're not sure about vaccinating your child, talk to your doctor now. Get the information that you need so that when that approval happens, that you're ready to then hopefully sign them up. And if you're not, again, that's what we're here for. So we really want to be talking to families and helping them make the best decisions for keeping their kids healthy. And it's also keeping the parents healthy too. So parents, if you haven't done it yet, like, I fully believe healthy kids come from healthy families. So if we protect our parents, they're less likely to get sick. They're there able to take care of their own children. So it's really, you know, kind of a big picture approach to this right now.
Dr. Nelson, once again, I cannot overstate my appreciation for the time and the insight on this. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Haley Nelson, complex care pediatrician, Valley Children's Healthcare, and a check-in that there's still cause for caution. The possibility that we will have that provisional approval. Your son has been pretty plain spoken about, when the jab is available, when there's a way for me to legally go and get it, I want to go and get it.
Oh yeah, the first day.
Do you have any hesitation?
Nope.
Based on what we've seen as far as how they're testing this?
No, he's the only one in our house that isn't vaccinated, and everybody in the house, because they're minors, are all have Pfizer. I have Pfizer. Mr. Skip has Johnson & Johnson, and the little one has felt, you know, concerned or worried because he doesn't want to get sick himself. We had a very honest conversation that the odds of him dying of COVID are very slim because we know that about kids. However, we don't want him to get sick. We don't want him to have to not go to school. We don't want him to pass it along. So we've had some really honest conversations about it. But this kid's just sitting there like Googling news articles and sending them my way.
Oh, no.
So it's good news. I think this will be the one time where he's like, yes, we're going to go to the doctor and get a shot.
Yay, a shot. The other thing I saw, you mentioned that Mr. Skip's got the Johnson & Johnson. Apparently, the testing, that initial wave of results is back. And they're saying that a Johnson & Johnson booster puts you, again, this is preliminary, but they're saying it that might be the most effective vaccine combo currently in the U.S. market.
Oh, so doing a little bit of the crossover there.
No. Just go get a second Johnson & Johnson shot.
Even if you had Pfizer?
No. If you had Pfizer.
Talked
about the possible benefits of the crossovers. But no, if you're a Johnson & Johnson recipient, go get a second shot. And apparently you're just bulletproof.
Well, and you know, that level of protection, knowing that you could still have some of the breakthroughs, and we've known people that have, but that level of protection of knowing that, you know, worst case scenario, we might end up, you know, having to hang out at home and a little sick. It's just helped with the overall mood in the house and the ability to show up to work and do what we have to do. So thank you again to Dr. Haley Nelson, the amazing staff over at Valley Children's Healthcare, taking care of our kids. Philip, if we go back a couple of months in COVID times, there was a discussion coming out of Los Angeles, the school district down there, about testing students and staff as part of trying to keep COVID in check. And it looks as though that is making its way up to Fresno Unified, at least one school, specifically McLean High.
Well, they're starting at McLean High, and it looks like this is just because of staffing needs. They're going to rotate through the high schools in Fresno Unified.
It's a good start.
I don't know if it's ever going to get better than that.
If we're being realistic about what's in front of us, I think that you're probably not wrong. But
well, and I'm trying to be realistic about what's in front of us, but I'm in that realism also. I don't think that we are going to spend this winter the way that we spent last winter. I don't think that the fear is there. I at this point, if you're not vaccinated, either you've got some kind of legitimate health thing going on that you've learned to articulate, or you've got a religious thing going on that you've learned to articulate, or you're just not going to take the damn vaccine because you've decided that you're going to go that way. It's fine. Fine. God bless. Have fun. Do your thing. Try not to sneeze on my grandma. I'm fine. Whatever. I'm not going to spend my winter locked up. I'm not going to spend my winter not going to movies. I'm not going to spend my winter with my family held at arm's length on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, and part of being able to do that then is going to be getting vaccines into the arms of those who need them and maybe had been holding off or maybe just didn't have the access and availability. So this is starting with Fresno Unified School District and offering vaccine clinics for the 12 and up at McLean High School.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to have issues in Fresno Unified and also in Clovis, and I'm sure Central too, although it hasn't been as public, with staffing issues, having enough adults around to take care of the students that we're sending to school. So part of it is getting folks vaccinated. So these are free, they're convenient, and students between the ages of 12 and 17 can bring a signed consent form or be accompanied by a parent or guardian and get their shots, plus a $25 gift card.
Now, I want to be cautious in how I phrase this, because I know that now at 3:26 in the afternoon, There's going to be people who are on their way home from school. There's going to be kids in the car with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or whoever. And I would never, in a million years, I would never want to encourage a young person between the age of, 12 and 17 to break or bend the rules. But I'm just going to share something from my own experience very briefly. A funny anecdote. Nothing about nothing. When I was 15 or 16 years old, I was still going to school at Clovis High. And they were having a blood drive at Clovis High. And what was really cool about the blood drive, from my perspective, is that after you donated blood, they had a whole snack bar, including pizza. And I forgot my lunch. So I looked at the blood drive and I went in and I walked down to one end of the counter and I picked up one of their parent permission forms. Because if you're 16 or 17 years old and you have your parents' permission, you can donate blood. And I went outside and I filled out the form and I signed my dad's name on the form. My dad had been dead for like 2 years. And then I went back inside and I went to the other end of the gym where they were processing people. And I turned in this form and I only fudged my birth year by 1 year, I believe. And then I went in and I donated, and I was a big kid. So like there was zero health risk. Went in, donated blood, went and got my pizza. Several years later, I'm at Sierra Vista Mall and they're doing pint for a pint. Ice cream. I'm in. And when I gave her my ID, she's like, oh, that's weird. This says you were born in 1978. And I went, aha, that's a weird typo. And we went off to, and we were off to the, I finally told her what I did. And she laughed at me and she said, you're a very bad boy, but that was a very nice thing to do. And I said, no, I did it for pizza. And she laughed and
whatever.
And we were fine. So this little funny anecdote, nothing about nothing. I just very distinctly remember that nobody bothered to check to see if my parents' signature was real on that form that I filled out and signed with my 2 year dead father's name so that I could get free pizza in exchange for a blood donation. I could imagine doing something like that now to get a vaccine if my parents weren't,
Yeah, or that just that $25 gift card and the rest is up in the air. See, so that's going to be happening. And by the way, free clinics are open to everybody, not just students.
But always follow the rules, kids.
Always follow the rules.
The pizza's never that good.
So my lying about my age, I looked for a fake ID, was never very effective at it because I have a guilt thing. I was afraid I was going to get busted. I went to a tattoo shop in San Luis or something and said, oh, look at that. I don't have my ID, but I have my debit card and my college ID. And certainly I would not be in college and have a checking account if I was under the age of 18. So certainly you should put that tramp stamp that I picked off the wall right there on my back for my father to, see sometime as I'm bending over into the fridge. Great idea.
That's awesome.
That's my rebel ways.
That's
my
really
body
funny.
My choice.
There you go. Your body, your choice. But look, if you're a minor child, you should not forge medical documents. You should never tell lies, even if they have really cool incentives and $25 gift cards and free vaccine that'll keep you from ending up in the hospital. Don't ever forge your parents. No. It's the wrong thing.
Subscribe to the Afternoon Drive podcast. It's free wherever you get your podcasts or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
I'm just talking about the introduction of, it's going to be a slow rollout through Fresno Unified. They're going to start at McLean High School. And kids 12 to 17, with parents' permission, of course, never forge those signatures, we'll be able to get the vaccine. And in exchange, there's like a $25 gift card up for grabs. There's other door prizes and stuff that they're throwing out there. They are also going to make testing more available and something that you can opt into. That guy at church coughed. I'd like to get tested kind of thing. And I think that's great. I'm torn between the cost of the resources to make this available everywhere all the time and the reality that I think that everybody who's going to get the coronavirus is going to get the coronavirus before Valentine's Day.
Well, and just the frustration in getting access to those at-home testing kits and stuff. Like, if you're trying to find them, you're having to drive around town trying to get your hands on them multiple spots. If you're trying to do some of the drive-through ones, you're having to make an appointment and wait. I mean, it just goes to show that even this many months in, it has been a struggle to get all our ducks in a row, if you will.
we weren't ready. And we've now had two presidential administrations who have both had ample time to do better. And we're still all screaming about whether or not Anthony Fauci's too heavy-handed. Yeah.
But meanwhile, and I know it's like a, I know it's a different country, different setup, but I know somebody whose kid lives in Scotland, and they get the mail to them. Like, oh, you need some extra tests here. Keep these in the cabinet and use them as needed, because they want to have the availability, which I understand. I don't think Scotland's a socialist country. I don't think we're going to have that screaming into the ether right now. But I mean, it's just like, yeah, it seems like it would make sense. I don't know.
Do they have coronavirus in Scotland?
They've been really good at actually keeping it.
You know why?
Handled. Why?
It's a respiratory virus. Okay. You know what's really bad for respiratory viruses?
I don't know.
Inhalation of vaporized alcohol.
Is that what it is? It's the scotch is helping.
That's how I stayed healthy, scotch and cigars.
I thought there was like a joke about, you know, ventilation from kilts. I was like that or bagpipes. I don't know where he's going here.
Oh, my God. And then the break ends with, I don't know where you've been, my lad, but I see you've won first prize. Michelle, welcome to KMJ.
Hi, guys. I heard you talking about, you know, lying about your age, and I kind of had a reverse that I still have nightmares about. So yesterday I just celebrated 40 years of employment at the same institution.
Wow. Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I got hired actually when I was 17, which I told the lady that was interviewing me, I'm 17. And so she said, you've got the job and let's walk over to HR. So on the way to HR, she said, so you're 18, right? And I said, no, I'm 17. And she goes, no, I think you're 18. And so I said, okay, I'm 18. And I still have nightmares to this day of being accused of falsifying my records.
Okay, so.
And saying that I'm 18 when I was 17.
Okay, so Michelle, you have the same guilt complex that I can understand here. But here's my question. So are you celebrating, like, you know, did you celebrate your 21st birthday a year late, your 30th birthday, your 40th? I mean, like, have you been playing this game the whole time?
No, it just, you know, it just comes to me. Obviously, it hit me, you know, yesterday, because I was like, wow, 40 years, this is my date. And to think, like, I was kind of illegally hired. And I thought, you know, they're going to find me out finally after 40 years and say the whole 40 years didn't matter because you were illegally hired. So
oh,
that hasn't
no.
happened. I didn't get any calls from HR. Yeah.
Well, Michelle, I'm congratulations on 40 years, give or take that year that you're fudging on at the encouragement of human resources. But that's really cool. And what a cool thing that the boss is going, you're 18, dude. Come on.
Well, I mean, I think by this point, you know, they're safe. Like, they're not going to come back. She's not going to come back and bust him for it. But it is funny that all these years later, you know, she's still having those reoccurring nightmares. Like, I have nightmares sometimes that I didn't turn in a paper and that my degree, my first degree, is null and void. So therefore, everything after that is null and void, including my ability to make money as a professional. It's just weird. I feel like me and Michelle are kindred spirits.
Man, you guys stress about totally different stuff. I had a nightmare that I shaved.
Have you ever been like, totally clean shaven? Like, when was the last time you were clean shaven?
Prior to getting married.
Okay, so it's been a while.
20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to warn her first, like, if you shave?
First of all, I think if I walked out of that bathroom clean shaved, I don't think she'd let me sleep in my own bed. She has not seen my clean shaven face since I was like 17 years old when we were at Clovis High together. I'm a lot fatter than I was at 17, so the beard is a little bit of a merkin for the double chin I may or may not have, depending upon how I'm sitting. But that was the really like horrible part of the dream, because I'm pretty sure if I shave, I'm going to land somewhere between like James Corden and Andy Richter, Like, I'm not going to be ugly. I'm just going to be pudgy English white guy. But in this dream I had, apparently I had at some point started to turn into a catfish underneath my beard. And like had like these like long, gross jowls.
You had like a weird like Davy Jones, like Pirates of the Caribbean type
thing. It was weird and wrong. And I just spent a lot of time thinking, well, I can wear a mask most of the time, but Skip is not going to like this.
You have to like tuck your tentacles up in your mask. Super weird. All right. Where do we go now? Thanks for that call. And by the way, 40 years at one organization or one job, you don't hear that very often anymore.
Isn't that the dream?
Find
a good company, lock in, and just ride that thing.
I didn't know that actually exists anymore.
It used to, yeah.
Yeah, it used to.
My grandfather, he came back from the war. He spent a year or two working for a radio and TV repair shop in San Jose. And then he got picked up by Hewlett-Packard when it was still Hewlett and Packard running the company. And he originally got picked up doing test equipment, and he retired after like 30 years with them.
Yeah.
He has a poster that was hanging above the little work desk that they had there in the kitchen, and it's this little like caricature of him with his amateur radio setup, and then at the top corners there was Packard and Hewlett's signatures up at the very top of this document, and congratulations on 30 years, enjoy retirement, and everybody in the company signed this thing. And it fit on a single poster. That's how small Hewlett Packard was in 1979 or whatever when he retired. Anyways, used to be a thing, not anymore. Thanks, Carly Fiorina. Mark Zuckerberg apparently started the pandemic with this sincere desire to stamp out COVID-19 and vaccine misinformation. He really wanted to keep it clean on Facebook.
Yep. He wanted to push the 50 million people that use Facebook towards getting their vaccines and trying to end the pandemic in a responsible way using the platform.
His goal was 50 million people pushed towards COVID vaccines. There's 2 billion people using Facebook.
50 million people. Oh, he was going for a small number, small percentage, big number.
Baby steps. So his team, the program level Facebook engineers, eventually had to sit down with Mark Zuckerberg and explain to him that they could not catch all of the junk posts, and that junk posts with bad information were starting to outnumber good posts. That even if you put up a post with a legitimate link to useful information, something like 41% of the comments would be anti-vax or Jenny McCarthy cuckoo bird naysayers.
Users were exposed to comments on vaccine-related posts 775 million times per day. So in response, Facebook later changed its ranking for health content in the aim to reduce views on what it deemed health misinformation. That was around June 2020, you know, a year and 3 months ago.
So advocacy group Avaaz has reported that the top 10 accounts producing health information got 4 times as many views on Facebook, as the top 10 authoritative sources. So in other words, the accounts that were spreading junk, the health news with a Z guys, were getting more play than NIH or CDC. Yeah.
And so this group warned Facebook that it needed to take more extreme measures against those networks spreading misinformation. It hasn't been very effective.
No. So the anti-vaxxers, they're part of this is... I'm convinced part of this is like Russian troll farms. Mm-hmm. I mean, joking aside, I really think that there is an effort on the part of definitely the Russians and possibly also the Chinese to just hammer out bad information so as to make American social media as disruptive and contentious as possible. The guy today put a post up, a picture of somebody at a ball game with a beer in their hand, and a bracelet that had a QR code for, with their vaccine on it, and then a picture of a Auschwitz survivor's arm with the barcode tattooed on it. And trying to compare, of course, right, that somebody who is enjoying a frosty adult beverage while watching a baseball game in the open air is being mistreated as badly as somebody who was jammed onto a cattle car and tortured to the very verge of death while they watched everybody they had ever known die. That's the same, right? I don't think that's a real person that put that online. I don't think it's a real person that created it. I don't think it's a real person that shared it. I think it's bots and trolls.
See, I do think that there is a segment that is bots and trolls, but then also seeing some of the very vocal feedback of real people and hearing about it kind of by virtue of what I'm doing for a living, I think that there are people that really do buy into that being their reality too, like really feeling like they are being...
It feels good and somebody else told me this was right, so therefore I'm going to double down on it, of course. But there's 150,000 posts in Facebook groups disabled for COVID misinformation. 5% were responsible for more than half.
Well,
that's the bots and the trolls.
Well, and then so what is stopping them from just shutting down those particular accounts?
Well, because you've got to identify where they are, what they are, what they're doing wrong. Zuckerberg can say, forget it, my bat, my ball, either you play by my rules or you're out of here, but that's not profitable. Number one thing that we could do to fight this meaningfully, filter all Russian IPs.
That would be the first start, because then even if it made its way over, it wouldn't be disseminated by everybody else here.
No, filter all Russian IPs. If you are connecting to a website that is distributed in the United States of America and you are coming from a Russian IP, you cannot post, you cannot contribute, you cannot upload.
So what's it going to take for them to do that?
Probably a pledge from the American government to offset the profit that they're getting from Russians spending money on advertising campaigns to make sure that 75,000 bad posts on Facebook make it out to everybody in America. 5%.
Over under on that actually happening? Or is Mark just going to be like, oh, sorry, guys?
Zuckerberg doesn't have the guts. I could see Dorsey pulling something like that, or just standing back one day and going, you know what, this was a mistake. This is bad for people. We're done. And just turning Twitter off.
Oh, Mark could earn his spot in a Hall of Fame if he did that.
Any one of them. Any one of them. Except that there's too much money and their board of directors would never allow it.
So we just told you about how Facebook is a mess when it comes to COVID misinformation and how that is trying to tear apart the United States from the inside out. Let's turn to how your iPhone could actually help diagnose a mental health issue. Because we trust him for this. There is a study that is going to be done that is going to use your iPhone, well, participants' iPhones, to help track physical activity, sleep patterns, facial expressions, heart and respiration rates, how fast you walked and how often you move, all to help diagnose things like depression, anxiety, and cognitive decline.
I'm split right down the middle on this. On the one hand, by putting this on the watches, putting this in the iPhones, and developing and investigating and pursuing this, we are going to get better at examining the human animal and all of the various things that can be right and wrong with it, and identifying and diagnosing and catching issues earlier and earlier and earlier. And that's awesome. Isn't that a beautiful thing that someday your watch is going to tell you, hey, you should call your doctor. There's a thing going on. Looks like you might have an insulin issue. Looks like you might have a neuropathy issue, whatever. That's amazing and wonderful and the highest and best possible use of technology. The improvement of life for all people. On the other hand, it's a corporation driven by profit that you're going to give every last stitch of biometric information to, with no guarantee that it's going to be used for the betterment of humanity or anything other than just finding a way to squeeze the last few dollars you've got out of your wallet.
But if you can't sleep, you'll get lots of targeted ads about a new mattress.
Yeah.
That's where we're going. This is Idiocracy.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the Afternoon Tribe Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.